Right now, it is time to bring in Judy Werpin. It is time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, and a brand new book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to you, and let's hope it really remains a good one. I think we're just all muddling through this situation, and, you know, day by day.
What's with that? Are your beaches closed?
Our beaches are closed. Everything, the restaurants are closed. There is an eerie silence on the streets because, of course, Miami Beach is primarily a tourist town. I mean, that's what drives the industry here. It would drive the economy here. And the hotels are not allowed to serve any food in their restaurants. So why would you stay in a hotel? You can't eat. The only places that really have food available are the supermarkets, the small little markets and neighborhood markets, and some places at takeout. So from 2 days ago to now, the place, I've been told, quieter than after a hurricane, because there's just nobody around except the residents.
Wow. How are you finding, are you back and forth between other places as well?
No, we're just staying put. The one thing about being, I guess, in a warmer climate is that you can be outside. The dog walkers are out, of course, all the time. And so as long as you're not close to anybody, you can have a chit-chat on the sidewalk with your dogs in between you and the next person you're talking to. And people can walk the beaches. They just can't congregate on the beaches. So you still have people who are doing that and jogging and biking. But other than that, we're all learning, you know, what it's like to revert back to what life was like before, maybe 100 years ago. Before we had all these other distractions. But one thing that, I was curious about is whether people, because everybody is stressed. I mean, who is not stressed? And whether people are really looking for ways of decreasing, their stress level. And, we've talked about this in the past, how people tend to go to the internet or to magazines that specialize in fitness and health, newspaper articles to see whether what they eat, Jill, is going to make them feel better. I mean, this has been going on now for decades, and it's just become more and more intense as claims are made for practically everything you put in your mouth or shouldn't put in your mouth. I mean, I remember the other, a couple of months ago, wandering around Whole Foods looking for something simple like oat bran and thinking, why is it that every single package I pick up tells me why I should be eating this food, because it's going to be doing something for my mental or emotional health? I just want a food to nourish me. And it is true that, everything you look at has a claim that it's doing more than simply nourishing your body and keeping you alive. And I was really wondering whether people are still doing this. I sort of did a cursory survey of what's on the internet, and it's really astonishing the claims that people make. I mean, there is one website that talks about it's called the Food Revolution Network by the writer has her name is Ocean Robbins, truly that is her name, and she talks about how certain foods like broccoli, which is good, broccoli is high in fiber and full of vitamins, it's rich in chromium, she says, which increases your body's level of serotonin, norepinephrine, and melatonin. Totally wrong. But, she writes this, I assume it's a she, on her website and tells you that you also should be eating things like blueberries, avocados, green tea, Brazil nuts, and quinoa to make yourself happy, and chocolate. Well, chocolate, I believe, because everybody is happy when they eat chocolate, but these other foods, and it goes on and on and on. You should be eating, a salmon. You should be eating cocoa. You should be eating chickpeas. It's like these days we're just worried about really getting enough food, and the fact the supermarkets are running out of food. But again, if you pursue these claims, then you have a feeling that if you choose your foods carefully, if it's still on the shelf, that you will not only be able to live through this crisis, but you'll be happy doing so. And it occurred to me, nobody really understands how you go about testing this. How would you know whether broccoli really is going to make you happy or not? And, there are some very basic ways of doing it, not a rocket science kind of thing at all. You know, you give people, you measure people's moods, stressed, right? And then you give people something to drink, and they don't know what they're drinking. It could be broccoli, it could be strawberries, it could be, I don't know, oatmeal. And then you wait until it's digested, and you test their moods again. And if the people who ate the broccoli really are happy and less stressed, fine. Broccoli maybe does have a good effect. If it doesn't, if you find that people who eat broccoli are just as stressed and anxious they were before they ate the broccoli, guess what? Broccoli is not going to make you feel better. It's as simple as that. And as you know, we talked about, Jill, endlessly, there is a food that will make you feel, at least take the edge off your anxiety, and that is carbohydrates. And we have done those kind of tests, and other people have, and it really makes you feel better because you really are making more serotonin. And so maybe, Jill, this is a time when everybody should get off those keto diets, high protein diets, and start going back to basics.
What I am wondering is how this is going to affect people who are, you know, suddenly don't have access to somebody hand massaging their kale. No, seriously, because I'm sure a lot of people who really embrace these keto, are not it's harder to get that plant based Impossible Burger.
Oh yeah,
in your
that's for sure.
So I'm weirdly seeing opportunity for people to understand that actually potatoes are a really good thing.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. And, you know, you go into the supermarkets and the meat shelves are bare. Chickens are, no chickens. I mean, they're restocking all the time. But what people are saying, especially down here, they're buying really pounds of beans, dry beans and lentils and rice and potatoes, sweet potatoes, white potatoes, yams, etc., pasta. In fact, it's hard to find pasta anymore in the supermarket. They're buying things that are not terribly expensive, that have a long shelf life, that, you know, they, in case they're stretched, so that if you're making, because suddenly you have all your kids home from school, you know, from the in colleges, etc., that really can feed a large number of people. And so inadvertently, people are eating those foods that have always been staples for cultures for hundreds and hundreds of years. Cornmeal, for example, in Guatemala or all of Central America. And so maybe, Jill, one of the very few positive effects of this virus is that people are going back to the basics that we've all lived on and our, you know, our great-grandparents have lived on, and realizing that, yeah, they're healthy, they're not expensive, they're really cheap, they stretch, you know, feed a lot of people, and by the way, they really make you feel better.
Right.
And you don't have to have a steak or bacon or, you know, lard or butter or what have you, but you really can eat these foods and feel better. It would be ironic, wouldn't it be, that after all of the claims of the keto diet, blah, 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 that people really are going back to the basics that nature wanted them to be eating.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. Well, and I haven't quite gotten too into the bean thing because I just don't particularly like it, but I am. And I said the food of South America is beans and rice, total protein if you eat both together. And I have plenty of time to learn how to make the beans taste good. And there was something in the New York Times yesterday, a page of recipes for beans, and there's plenty online. And so, I think we've never moved away from carbohydrates, as you know, but I think we're just going to branch out into carbohydrates that I haven't eaten for a while. And everybody else should be doing so, because we know they work. Broccoli is good for you, but it ain't going to make you happy.
Thank you very much, Dr.
You're
Judy Wertmann, Food for Mood.
And, of course, you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio on Thursday mornings and also online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Demand, click on Food for Mood with Judy Wertmann.